Christ, we're able to make godly choices through response, able to represent God well, choose godly things in response to that. Throughout this, I've had a saying that goes with the topic and the theme. Today's is Eager Beaver. I got a real fun picture up there that you can't see yet. But it has three beavers who are sitting timidly like this, and one is very much an eager beaver. And that saying, although I didn't look up the history of it like I usually fail every week, I forgot to this week, but it still fits in, so I'm going to use it anyway. Oh, good, he's up there now. This is sometimes used in a sarcastic or a demeaning way, like you're too over-eager. But it's actually a really positive thing. Somebody that's got enough energy to dive in and put something on and willing to say yes, right? Often you put it out, you know, people are asked, who would be willing to do this? I think of up in central Alberta, there's a community that there's a seniors lodge in town and a nursing home just out of town. Going cross country, they're not that far apart. But taking the road, and it's just a blacktop road, no shoulder, no whatever else. But often there's one spouse in the senior's lodge and one out in the nursing home. And though it's not that far apart, you can't hardly ever see each other. The nursing home invested in a bicycle and whatever else, but still a very dangerous road. Somebody had the idea, an eager beaver, thought of, well, let's build an 8-foot sidewalk beside those roads and make that happen so these spouses can see each other. Well, this is a Mennonite community. They were called the Mennonite Church and the Mennonites community. And so before they had approvals, they just went ahead and built that sidewalk because it made sense. Definitely eager beavers. They got it done, though. That's great. So we need some more of those. So as we walk through this series, we've recognized some certain things that need to happen. We're going to be response-able and choose God's way in response to what we're facing in life. First is recognizing God as sovereign. Recognize God as sovereign. Relax. We don't control everything. Learn to rest in Him. Rest and abide. Then you will have the courage, the wisdom to step out. You need to rejoice in God and good. There's the Holy Spirit going on. He's working towards it. You need to repent and turn to God when we know we've gone our own way. We're on our own way down here. Return to our first love. Out of His amazing love for us, respond. Learn to love Him. Learn to love other people beyond ourselves, beyond our capability, by the power of the Spirit. Realign our lives when we're out of alignment with His calling on us, His character. Restore and rebuild what's been broken. Right? We talked last week about reconciliation. Things have been broken. When we've offended someone or they've offended us, we restore, we rebuild, we move into there, the messiness of life, and make something beautiful by the power of the Spirit. Today we're talking about renewing our commitments. Uniting. Unity is a powerful theme throughout Scripture. You know what this James said? Three different passages, just briefly on each one. Ephesians 4:3, 1 Peter 3:8, Psalm 133. So first Ephesians 4. No, I'm just reading that. I want to read a bigger passage around it first. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, Paul writing to the Ephesus, the Ephesian church, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, with one hope that belongs to your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Can you hear the unity dripping through this passage? And in the middle of it is this eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eager this isn't sitting back hoping someone else steps forward, right? That's like the army recruits. And there was an optional mission. So the general comes out and says, and who will go on this mission? Most of the line stepped back, except for a few unknowing people. Right? Sometimes we're voluntold by our spouse or someone else. Instead of volunteering for it, we're voluntold to a position. But an eager beaver goes, yeah, I think I can make a positive contribution. Eagerness to maintain the unity of the Spirit. As we said earlier, eagerness, this is on this next slide, not just sitting there passively, but diving in. Yeah, pick me. I want to be a part of this. Unity is powerful. There's a strong desire to work towards unity in this person. And this is what Paul was calling all believers to know, to have a single-mindedness. Not allowing distraction. An eager person is focused on something. Yes, that's the way I want to go. I want to move towards unity. And I'm eager to maintain unity and to build it in the spirit of the bond of peace. The week that I drove the remote control car up here and circled it around, it really took the attention, especially of the two young Bartel cousins that were up here. Completely captivated them. We're easily captivated by bright things and moving things. In the middle of this, it says, never forget unity. Be eager to pursue unity. Right? I said we're going to go have ice cream at the Igloo in Fort Cloud or ice cream in Waterton. That can become the purpose of the trip. Rather than enjoying the whole thing and the relationship building that goes on, all about the ice cream. And if one of those places is closed, oh, that's a disappointing day, right? Or is there something bigger going on? You need to be eager to move towards this. I would say news, and it's already been shared in some of the stories that people have shared, but the news of our world can become an incredible distraction. The U.S. election can become an incredible distraction. Recognize that every form of government will be ungodly to some degree. It's just to what degree. There is no godly government. Conservatives aren't godly. Liberals aren't godly in our own country here. We don't completely expect them to be. It doesn't mean we don't get involved and we don't want them to make decisions that more accurately reflect how God's created everything in us and relationships and that are good. That's not our focus. We better not, in the body of Christ, divide over politics and some of these other things that take are simply distractions. We don't divide over. We don't divide over our response to COVID. We move forward together somehow, wrestling with it, coming together. Eager to maintain unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Also, 1 Peter 3 says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Right? You don't arrogantly demand, I must have my way. Maintain it. Work towards it. This is sympathy, brotherly love, all sorts of aspects coming out in this passage. Sympathetic, it speaks of living in harmony with one another. Right? During a music practice or an orchestra playing, it comes to a grinding halt if one instrument is way out of tune, right? Hey, let's get that instrument in tune before we move forward. It would be way off if we would have me leading singing. And that's all right. I play a different role. But we really need to be sympathetic. Our relationships need to be in harmony with one another to move forward in unity. When we listen to a perspective that's not our own, we don't just quickly dismiss But if you would only understand my point, the whole world can do that. If we're able to choose, recognize God's in control, He's sovereign, all those other things we might do. We can listen to the point of understanding, even in perspective that we don't hold. We can demonstrate that understanding by restating it. Are you saying this? Just because we say it doesn't mean we have to agree with it. It just communicates that we've actually heard the person accurately. What a great way to love people. Show brotherly love. And even listen, as the passage says, sympathy or empathy. Listen to the point of sympathizing and empathizing with a position that we don't hold. In Christ, we can do this. Why is it so important? Listen to the why and not just the what. Not so quick to debate. Right? Scripture also says be slow to speak and quick to listen. We need to actually live that out, not just to be able to quote it. And move towards things. There's not only one way to achieve even similar goals. Right? I think of how divided it is in the U.S. between Republicans and Democrats, and everybody saying they got the right way towards abortion, in response to abortion, right? Republicans mostly want to just simply outlaw abortion. Democrats want to provide, those who are against abortion and pro-life, want to provide so many resources that it makes abortions unnecessary. Back and think of those just as a real simple statement. Neither one of them are going to achieve it on their own. Right? It's going to be some of both and. So being truly pro-life is providing for people so that they're not so desperate that they want to carry out an abortion and they want someone else or themselves. But it provides for them, and there are some laws that are effective. Is divided. There's a lot of people trying to move in a similar direction. Now, obviously, there's a whole bunch wanting to promote some really ungodly things, and it's okay to get involved. Can we, as a body, come together and agree on what's most important, and stay unified, even in a challenging and hard conversation when we're not understanding, when we're not being heard, right? We hate not being heard or not being understood. Understand and make sure that they know that they're heard first. On our own? No way. In Christ, yes, we can. I mean, we need to practice this in our marriages and our families in all sorts of ways, certainly in our culture. It needs people having unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Harmony. World needs to see it, that people can still get along even when we disagree on things. We don't have to fracture and break over. We don't have to divide over end times theology like some churches do. We can find a way for unity. That's Ephesians 1 Peter, Psalm 133. It speaks of balance. Brothers and sisters dwell in unity. And I'm not going to get real deep into this here this morning, but it's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. In a different picture, it's like the dew of Hermon, which falls in the mountains of Zion. For there, the Lord has commanded the blessing of life forevermore. And it's a picture of blessing. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It's a picture of being blessed by God and responding to that blessing, receiving that blessing. The outcome is unity. Unity is a powerful picture. longest recorded prayer is John 17. It's full of unity. Unity of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Unity of His disciples. May they be one. May you and I, may you be one in me as I am in the Father. It's full of it. It's His longest recorded prayer. We should maybe take notice of that. There's stuff going all over the place. On that slide, just chaos in our world. Recognize our Canadian government. Press gallery journalist Glenn McGregor has tweeted a portion of the notice of proposed procurement in this government speak for every need that they want to buy some of this stuff. It suggests that the Department of National Defense intends to purchase 36,000 canisters of riot control agent, as described in the documents as tear gas. I actually went to the website, government website, went and looked under tenders to see what they're wanting to buy. And it is there, 36,000 canisters of tear gas. The document also states to be delivered to Canadian forces, ammunition depot, etc. Some more details there. Just an estimate, there is no price there, but an estimated price of $26 a canister. It's about $1 million invested in tear gas. $1 million, and that's the best way we can find it to. Now, there's a bunch of response to this, obviously, right? Like, why are you buying this and whatever else? The government would say, well, it's only for training purposes, but a bunch of speculation out there says, or are we moving to become more like the U.S., right? It's illegal to use it in warfare, wartime, but it's increasingly used against civilians in different countries. So we're gearing up for, like, our world is so broken, it's so full of chaos. Disunity, fighting. Somebody disagrees with me, and they punch them, right? There was someone just calmly saying, how much God loves people. It was a senior woman. God loves people outside an abortion clinic. Had an obvious opinion against abortion, wanting to love both parents and child and unborn child and everybody else. And not in an offensive way, but somebody was so offended by that, a young, early 20s male, and drop-kicked a senior woman. The world doesn't need more fracturing and brokenness. We need more blessedness. And we live in the blessedness of Christ. When we're receiving the blessing of Christ, salvation, promise of eternal life, almost all the funerals I've done have been for believers. What a hope we have in Christ. What a blessing to know where our loved one is. And that we can see them again. We can have a better relationship than we've ever had, right? On earth, here it's broken, it's hindered, it needs communication, friction, and whatever. Heaven is going to be better than we can imagine. What a blessing we have flowing down with the pictures of songs that makes things grow. Things that are planted intentionally, not the weeds. Good things. The shalom of God. God's character reflected. That's one of the things unity is. When a church, brothers and sisters, live in unity, it's a picture of the world of God's good care. It's a picture of His blessing. The shalom of God, right? Shalom, instead of one time, it's much bigger and broader than peace. Peace is our English word. It tries to capture things made right. there's a debate, a significant debate, of an issue of substance that mattered to people. And there was a lot of passion in the discussion. A lot of words were said. There was one very vocal elderly gentleman. He spoke several times, saying this was what he believed the congregation should do. And here is the response to what they were facing and the decision to be made. Several times, lots of others spoke here and there and there and there and there. Many different perspectives came there. At some point, moderator calls it together and goes, I think we're repeating ourselves now. Are we ready for a vote? Moves to a vote. People vote, and it goes a different direction than that seeming man had been proposing. So the vote happens, and then was made, here's what the results were, and that gentleman stood again to speak. As a younger moderator, he's thought everything's been said already, votes been taken, it's done. And he was fearful that this would just reignite more passion, more people, whatever else, or make it even worse than that. But he also felt the pressure to respect the elder. Timothy, he says, okay, speak one more time. Seeking time, he stands and he declares he will support the decision in both word and action. The congregation is made, and he'll do it fully, not begrudgingly, and there's been no words of complaint. That's something. It's an eager believer. Eager to pursue unity and not demand his way or the highway. God has grace and strength to be eager believers to really pursue unity. Experiencing the blessing of God and reflecting more accurately the blessing of God to Jonah. Heavenly Father, now we do face hard things, hard decisions. And it is easy to debate, to work hard to be right, to be understood. May we work even harder at understanding. Just loving by understanding.